much for being with us this morning, Blue Valley Baptist Church, the Antioch campus. It's so amazing to enter the presence of God week in, week out. John, the worship team, working so intensely on ensuring that the worship lines up with a passage that's being talked about. Hours and hours of prayer and toil. And then once it all comes together and we sense the presence of God in this place, it just flows like a rushing spring into our lives, the freshness and presence of God. And it is an absolute joy to be able to experience Him like that with you. We do want to say this morning to you a special welcome to Blue Valley Baptist Church, the Antioch campus. We are so grateful that you have chosen this place today to come and worship and to engage our living God with others who are doing the same. Well, this morning our focus, as our series has been in this book of Colossians, Your Best Life. This morning we are looking at Your Best Life Online. For me personally, the study in Colossians has been very rich, very challenging, and I've repeatedly heard from many of you and many on the Ridgeview campus of how there are certain verses and words, challenges of God from this passage, from this chapter, from this book, how intensely God is working and moving and changing us, directing our very lives to become more like Him. And as you know, at Blue Valley, we strive to become more fully devoted in our following of Jesus. Our vision, mission statement with that includes the five S's. Really, those are our focus points. And for the first 2 months of our calendar year, September and October, we focused on the S shine. Well, last week we transitioned to the S sacrifice, the statement being, I will offer my life to God and people beyond what is comfortable. And with the holidays approaching, I cannot think of a better topic, a better S to focus on for this period of the next 2 months together. So we personally consider how to better cultivate a spirit of generosity in the areas of our time, our talents, our resources, and our very lives and efforts for others. I remember growing up also during this time of year counting down the days, primarily because it meant we were going to be out of school for multiple days. And back then, they did not assign homework to us during the breaks. That has changed to a degree for many of our students, but I always loved this time of year for that and for the sake of gathering with those with whom our family was deeply close to, other family members. Oftentimes, my parents, who loved people, loved our neighbors, loved those within our community, would invite either individuals or families that did not have other family close to participate and be a part of our celebrations, Thanksgiving and Christmas. In that way, many of you could say you can resonate with that because your parents either did the same or you in turn have done the same for those with whom you know are not deeply connected to family members who are close and they didn't have anywhere to go. And so you've extended your lives, you extended a graciousness to those around you and invited them to come and be a part. And it always made for incredible conversations. In the midst of that, I don't think my parents ever really thought of it as sacrifice. It was just who they were, loving God and loving people. And so as an extension of our family's love for them, we just asked them to jump in and be a part. And as a result, we had absolutely great times. Social media in that day was also radically different. Primarily the news sources growing up were both the news at noon, 6 and 10, if we watched all three, usually repeated, and the newspaper. Well, today, as we know, social media is a force, and it's changed the way in which we even celebrate our holidays. And as you know, because we've just passed another political round with a voting that took place on Tuesday, social media is a gigantic mess, isn't it? I mean, how many commercials did you hear or watch, or how many ads did you see on the streams of your phones that basically said whatever candidate it was, whatever party it was a part of, was the absolute worst individual we've ever seen in our lives? This person is horrible. Look what they've done. This person, unbelievable. And it was ad after ad. One Republican, the next Democrat, the next Republican, the next Democrat. Sometimes 6 to 8 commercials in a row saying how bad that person was. And so on the media streams, our social media in particular, Instagram accounts, Twitter accounts, Facebook, we've seen close friends, followers of Jesus, even post or repost or retweet some of these ads, some of these descriptions of these absolutely horrific people who can't even really, in all honesty, be able to look at themselves in the mirror because they're so bad, right? So Ethan and I had a running joke. Every time one of those commercials came on, didn't matter the party, we would both say, oh, that person's horrible, awful. And we'd just start laughing because of the way people were depicted, true or untrue, probably a mixture of both. Our lives and the way we see things, the way we portray ourselves on our feeds with other people is radically different than what it was, again, in the year 1982, 83, 84. And I think in some respects, to our detriment as followers of Jesus because of what we are portraying. Now, obviously, Paul, when he wrote this, wasn't considering my life online. There wasn't such a thing at that point, but he does address several of the issues that we see in this area of social media. And so today, we are going to look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the world to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So we see in this that our best online life prays alertly. Now, Paul didn't make the suggestion in here or ask the question, would you begin to steadfastly be in prayer? Would you start a life of steadfast prayerness and be watchful in it? No, he made an assumption based on the reputation of this people group that they were already being steadfast in their prayer lives. It was the reputation of the Colossian church, in particular to Paul. So he made this assumption that they were already doing such. And he wanted his readers, those within the church, to not only continue in that, but to be watchful in it with thanksgiving. This concept reinforces our need to pay attention to what we are doing. Paul was telling them, you have got to know the people with whom you are around, not just by name, not just by occupation, but you have got to know the heart of hearts of the people with whom you are having relationship with. That shows the need for us to know people beyond the surface, where they are, with how we can pray for them accurately, knowing them so deeply as they share with us their very lives that we're able to pray for them in those things, seeing that we need to watch alertly. There is another passage that talks about watching and being ready, being alert. It was when Jesus was with the disciples in the garden, if you remember, when they were there together, what did he tell them to do? Watch alertly and pray. And what happened to all of the disciples? Fell asleep. It's late at night. It's difficult to stay alert when it's late. And so he came back to him again and he said, awake and pray. This is the hour. And yet again, they fell asleep, watching alertly. Is it possible that in many respects in the church today, followers of Jesus, that we've fallen asleep? What used to be a heralding piece of our lives, sharing the gospel with the lost, especially when we return to our salvation experiences, when we found Christ, The largest priority for the majority of us in that was to do what? To share the gospel with the lost and the dying. But now, in the year 2018, almost 2019, in many respects, that's been replaced by sharing our own positions and our own opinions of things in the world. And if we look at the previous year of all of our posts, if we do such a thing, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is, if we are to measure that and look through that and legitimately consider all of our posts, how many of those would we say legitimately reflect the gospel and Christ and what he offers to a lost and dying world and to believers alike? I would say many of us, if we went back and typed those out or printed those out, potentially could look back with horror. What was I thinking with that post? Why in the world would I have put that on social media? Why would I have downgraded an individual? What is the response that I would have received, if I would have received any, from people who are lost who would have seen it? Would they see the fragrance of Jesus coming through those posts? Or would they be disgusted because there another believer is bashing someone else, whether it's a repost or a self-written one? God forgive us. We're to be alert. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for those whom he may devour. Watch alertly was the call. Are we watching? Prayer was encouraged, of course, not just for Paul because he was sharing the gospel, because he was going out. But we know, reading through this book, studying this book, that Paul also prayed for those with whom were involved in this church, for those sharing the gospel. I don't know if you remember, many of you, we used to have things called revivals. I'm not saying we need to bring those back, but I remember growing up, revivals took place in our church family, and my parents made sure that we, my sisters and I, were there every night. It was a week-long emphasis of messages given at night, primarily evangelistic, where those in church would be able to invite their lost friends to come and be a part. And I can remember growing up seeing my neighbors, people that my dad worked with, finding Jesus in those nights. The gospel call was clear. Now, I remember thinking, what are these things called revivals? I didn't fully understand it. In fact, honestly, as a kid, I would have rather been out playing with my friends than going to a revival service. Even though I didn't understand it or know it, my parents prioritized it, and they made it a priority for me and for my sisters to be there. As a result, the continued drawing of God in my life to himself took place. And I saw lives changed right in front of me. Again, I'm not saying that revival in that format needs to come back. But I am wondering with this. We have 24/7 access to our phones, all of our feeds. Is it possible that in our day and time, God would bring about potentially revival online? I'm not God, I'm not the Holy Spirit, I don't know, but it begs the question as we look at this, is it possible that God could use our lives online over the next year? Just the people in this room who use it to bring about revival in the lives of those who read our feeds. Well, it's more than possible, because we know that God can do anything immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. But are we seeing those things, those areas, as opportunities for us to share the gospel? Let me ask this, related to praying alertly. How many of us have prayer lists that includes those who follow us on our accounts? Whether we know their real names or we just know the names that are given at whoever it is, do we have prayer lists at home, at work, on our steering wheels that include the people that follow us? Have we even considered praying for those people? Lost and saved alike. What if we really got serious about praying for, alertly, the individuals who are on our feet? Could God bring about revival as a result? He could. Will he? Will we? Paul demonstrated in his writing the concept of praying alertly, enduring. Remember Paul? Shipwrecked days and nights, 40 lashes minus one, imprisoned when he wrote this. A man whose circumstances were not the best we've ever seen. Paul, enduring for the sake of Christ as he prayed alertly, continuing steadfastly in prayer, in spite of, with thanksgiving, with joy in his very heart and his life. How did Paul do that? Paul was deeply connected relationally to God. So that begs the question in our own lives. How deeply are we connected personally to God? If we are, would we be in prayer, steadfast, alert, enduring in spite of, demonstrating the life of Jesus in our words, in our actions? His lifestyle was one of following God. He believed God would answer his prayers. He believed God would answer the prayers of the people who were at Colossae. He didn't doubt. He believed. Now, at times God did answer differently, I'm sure, than what he prayed. But God still answered. Proverbs 21:1 tells us, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Are we praying instead of seeing God as a genie in the bottle to answer our every want and our every wish and our every like and our every dislike? Are we seeing him, the God of the universe, like Paul did, praying intensely? God, pray for at chessmantruth.whatever. Pray that this individual, this list out the name, would find you, that the gospel would be clear to them, and that they would respond to you. Believing in faith that God is working and he is moving, whether it be a post online or someone that he brings into their lives to actually communicate and share the gospel. His calling was to be alert and to be steadfast. And now we see Paul turning specifically to the Colossian church, asking for prayer for him in this ongoing effort to share the gospel everywhere he went. The best life online proclaims clearly that God may open the door. I remember going to Wichita State my second year in college, transferred to Southwest Baptist later, took a lot of business classes at Wichita State, and I remember going into business statistics, sitting down in the back row, not necessarily being a math genius, hearing the concepts by the professor. Okay, now if you do this, and if you match this up, and if you use this formula, you're good. And I remember just sitting in the back going, I have no idea what you're talking about. Trying to get through the information, trying to solve problems, just trying to get it. Now, there were others in the class who obviously were getting it. He thought, the professor, he was getting through to everyone. But I sat there going, my goodness, this is not crystal clear. This is the opposite. So I found myself after school going in for help and actually having a friend of mine help tutor me in that class. If not for that, I definitely would have failed out of stats. He thought he was proclaiming the message of statistics very clearly. It was not connecting. We are called in these verses to declare or proclaim the word, the mystery of Christ, clearly. So it begs the question, Are we? Are we declaring the gospel clearly, on and offline? Better question, maybe this. When was the last time we declared or proclaimed the gospel at all? A day? A week? A month? A year? Ever? Have we ever proclaimed the gospel verbally to someone? Actions are one thing, very important. Lifestyle has to match up. I agree. But to allow the words of Christ to come through our mouths to a lost and dying world, to individuals proclaiming and declaring the gospel. How long has it been? For those of us who are married, we know, we talk about our spouses consistently in good ways to those who are around us. I cannot believe Tiffany, fill in the blank. I cannot believe, fill your spouse's name in, did this. They are amazing individuals, unbelievable. Look at what God is doing through them. Look at their gift set. We love bragging on our spouses, don't we? Many of us enjoy that, enjoy sharing that. It's a natural flow from our lives, from our mouths. Is it a natural flow from our lives, from our mouths, because of our deep love and relationship with Jesus, what he offers people who are lost? Are we more concerned and stuck on the issues of our day? What do people see? What do people hear? Of course, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands and share with the entire people group in this room. You shared in the last week, raise your hand. Month, not going to do that today. That's between you and the Lord. But if it's been some time and you claim to be a follower of Jesus, since you have shared the life-giving message of the gospel with someone who's lost, either online or offline, doesn't matter. If it's been a while, God has better for you than that. God has a mission and a purpose for your life to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. Will you? Will I? Regardless of what our past has looked like, our words matter. What we say with our tongues, the old adage, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We know that's not true. Those of us who have lived long enough, words matter. What we speak from our tongues as followers of Jesus matter. James 3, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Look at your online streams. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. From the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, these should not be. The tongue, then, as we proclaim the gospel, should line up with our lives, and we should be proclaiming him, not ourselves, realizing that we have life-giving relationship to hold out in front of people with the gospel that can be transformative in their lives and hearts. Clear communication takes effort, but it's worth it. We need to speak the gospel clearly. The best life online also posts wisely. Walk in wisdom with outsiders, Paul tells us, making the best use of the time. Godly wisdom is the application of God's instruction and should be reflected in our words and in our actions. Paul was concerned that his readers reflected God's wisdom in a way that gave him the opportunity to share the gospel in a way people would hear and respond. So have we become so saturated in this life that we've become involved in civilian affairs? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. We realize everything that we post, God sees, right? An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in this. Again, the question, have we become so saturated in this life that we've become involved in civilian affairs? We are more entangled in the mess than we are outside of it, holding out the gospel. I think it's more than possible. I think it's probable for many of us. Are our posts seasoned with the salt of Jesus and the gospel? Do our public lives portray who we really are? Finally, we see the best life online participates graciously. We are called to let our speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so we can know how to answer every person. We've already established that our words matter. Last passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. Oh, if we would memorize this section and live it. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We know that verse already, but let's keep going. All this is from God, and through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation, being made right. That is our ministry. Having a right relationship with Christ ourselves, and so proclaiming the gospel and a life of love for Jesus that other people do it as well. That is our ministry. We are called to help people be reconciled to God. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling to the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Remember, Jesus took care of that on the cross and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. He gave us that mission. That is our life mission. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Do we realize we are ambassadors for Christ online? We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That should be our message. Not of how horrible some political candidate is. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The message is simple. We are called to a ministry of reconciliation. People to Jesus. That's our life's work, regardless of our occupation. Ed Stetzer said this. We can no longer see people as enemies. Have we done that? We can no longer see people as enemies, but instead as prisoners of war. We realize the lost are prisoners of war, and without the gospel, they have no hope. And we cannot hate a people and reach a people at the same time. So who is on our hate list? Called to speak the truth regardless. There's nothing wrong with our being online. In all honesty, there's nothing wrong with many of our posts. But is it possible that God wants to transform our hearts and minds and lives to see those that we encounter online as he does? We're called to pray alertly, to proclaim clearly, to post wisely, and to post graciously. And may the mercy and grace of Christ allow us to do so. Let's pray.